Fourth quarter of the program begins right now. Fourth and final hour. Seren Petro with you, courtesy of Fast Talking Rob. Coming to you straight out of the Rally House Studios. Gear up, Jayhawk fans, to support your Kansas Jayhawks. They're going to be playing down at Sprint Center tomorrow against Washington. You can get geared up for the game at Rally House. Of course, Chiefs fans, nobody has a better selection of jerseys, gear. It is the ultimate one-stop shop for any sports fan. If you've got a sports fan on your list, get in there to your Rally House and your Kansas Sampler. In fact, we're going to be over there at the Kansas Sampler on 15th, I think is the next stop, 15th, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's the 15th. My people are telling me nothing, so I don't know. 19th! I nailed it! Right there, the 19th. We'll see you there. All your Christmas shopping in one stop. It's at the Rally House and the Kansas Sampler. Check them out online at rallyhouse.com. Let's talk to Trent Green. He is at a great spot to do some holiday shopping, and that is the Kansas City Steak Company. Trent, how does the meat look?
Well, it looks and tastes great. I've been sampling as I've been signing and taking pictures out here. So nice line out here. A lot of great deals going on. Not only the 8-10 deal, but a bunch of other deals they have going on. So, it's been a good steady line the whole time.
Yeah, and they do such a fantastic job and always, just a great sight to see when you go down there and see the production. And I think if you're a business, you'd like to go down there just to see how they do business, because they are an absolute just machine of organization and how they get everything done. So love going down
well,
there.
Well, the efficiency that they've shown today, I don't want to scare people off by saying there's a line, but the efficiency that people have been getting in and out,
yep.
They've been replacing the stuff that people are running through as far as buying. It's continually being replaced, and they've got multiple people checking out, and it's been a steady flow all day. It's, as you said, it's been very efficient.
Yeah, I tell you what, they are right on the level of Joe's Kansas City Barbecue when it comes to the efficiency of moving a line through. That's one of the things I always tell people about Joe's. Yeah, there's a line, but don't worry, they're going to rocket you through. It's amazing when you get somebody who actually knows what they're doing and organizes things, how well they can do it. Let me ask you about these Kansas City Chiefs. I heard your conversation yesterday with Kevin. I'm curious about the difference, and I don't know how much of, beyond just maybe the highlights, you've had a chance to see this game. I know you called the game 2 weeks ago, but you had the Titans game this past weekend. But
right.
Did you notice what is the difference? Because I thought, and by the way, the job you did on the game 2 weeks ago, and I had you up on one of the screens. You always do a great job, Trent. But just the way you diagram what was going wrong for the Chiefs offense was absolutely fantastic. And I think, what do they say, imitation's the sincerest form of flattery.
right,
ESPN right. And NFL Network have basically been doing the same thing you did on the fly. So kudos to your CBS crew as well. The stuff you guys did immediately turning around, they've hours later and days later were doing the same work you guys did immediately. So kudos to all you guys on that. But did you notice anything different in what you have been able to see this game, or what Alex Smith did different to really push the ball down the field and be so successful?
Well, and I think that was the main point right there. I thought there was a lot more aggressiveness, not only in his throws, and I'm not so sure how much of it was between Matt Nagy and Andy Reid, but I thought the play calling was much more aggressive, especially early on. You look at those first couple of touchdown drives, and then as things progressed, they still continue to push the ball down the field. And so, I don't know if Andy will completely divulge how much Matt Nagy, how much freedom he had in terms of that play calling, but I thought the play calling was much more aggressive, and I thought Alex's approach was much more aggressive, and it paid off. They were much more productive offensively. I think when that happens, and I'm looking forward to seeing that trend continue, because I think when you look back to the beginning of the year when Kareem Hunt was having the success that he did running the football and the pressure was off the offensive line, then that's when the running game was really shining. And I think, Kevin brought this point up yesterday. He said the pass game, in this offense, the pass game tends to set up the run game. And I think as they continue to stretch the field, you're going to get those defenders out of the box like they have been doing. And it is going to open up the run game. And so I'm looking forward to them continuing this trend, and hopefully it stays that way.
Yeah, they need to. And you mentioned the play calling. Tell me where I'm wrong on this. The goal has to be, to get somebody to call the plays for you if you're the head coach. I mean, that has to I get it. You might have lost a great play caller, and you got a young guy, and you're going to bring him along, so you're going to take over the duties. But you don't have the right guy as your OC if you're not in the process of giving him the play calling or he already has it. It's just more efficient, and it allows you to manage more things. Is there any scenario where I'm wrong, where we're actually, you know, trying to do both jobs at once is a better scenario than having a guy? I mean, if Bill – I pretty much look at it like this. If Bill Belichick isn't calling his own defense, right, and he's gone through different defensive coordinators, then there's no reason for anybody else to be calling their own side of the ball as a head coach, right?
Well, I think here's the thing. There's a number of head coaches over the years that have called both offense and defense, depending on their area of specialty. And I think that's what Andy, even though a lot has been made with Doug Peterson and his ability as offensive coordinator, now being over in Philadelphia, what he's been able to do. Andy called the plays when Doug was here. There were times throughout the course of games and throughout the course of series that he would say, and these are just conversations I had with Doug and with Andy over the years, is there may be a series where he says, hey, you know what, take this series. I've got to focus on some other things, or, you know, maybe to just freshen it up. But that's a part of the game that Andy really enjoys. I've had those conversations with him. That he enjoys that part of football and being a head coach is having the ability to call those plays. Now, to speak to the point of Bill Belichick, I know that he and Matt Patricia now pretty much calls that defense, but he is continually in conversation with Bill Belichick, sure, and what it is they want to get done. And even when Patricia was initially named defensive coordinator, Belichick was calling the majority of those. It was more of a transition, and now it's gotten to that point. But I do think that Matt brings a lot of insight. I think it also brings a freshness. I think that was the reason why, even with Andy and Doug Peterson, there were times where, you know, just to give it a fresh set of eyes and see what goes on. I've been with coaches that do both. I've been with coaches that don't. I've been with coaches that want to get involved. I do know that as a head coach, you're trying to manage the game. You're trying to dictate, okay, what we're doing on special teams, what field position, time on the clock. I mean, there's so many different factors that are going in to being a head coach that it does take away from whether you're offensive play caller, defensive play caller. So there is a lot more of a load than head coaches are dealing with, other than just being that play caller.
You said something that I've heard Andy Reid say, and I assume he probably said it to you, and that's why you phrased it the way you did. He enjoys calling the plays. He said that not just to me.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, he said it up at the podium before, and I get that. But part of me, when he said it every time and hearing you say it, my reaction is this. Look, I love Stump the Chumps, right? We do it for an hour on Fridays. It's great. I love the guys that we're doing it with. I love Pete coming in and Curtis, and I love sports trivia, sports history. I love that. I love it, right? I don't do it for 20 hours because you want to know why?
Right.
The town can't take 20 hours of it, right? So I got to do my job. It's the most fun hour I have, but I got to do my job. So it's great that it's fun, but isn't he kind of – not, and look, Andy Reid's such an accomplished coach. If that's what you got to live with to get Andy Reid, it's worth the price to do it. But isn't it a little bit like, hey, that's great that it's fun for you, but you're here to win. It's professional football and you're paid a lot of money.
Right.
Develop a guy who could be a better play caller and make us a better football team by managing everything. Is that unfair for me to say it that way?
It's not unfair, and you have the right to say it. And just like Andy, since he's the head coach, he has the right to. If he wants to call special teams, he can.
That's right.
It was funny. We had, as you mentioned, I had the Texans and Titans this past week, and we're sitting in the hotel waiting for the Texans to arrive at the hotel, and Bill O'Brien walks by, and he's like, "Hey, can I just jump in now and knock out the production meeting?" We're like, "Coach, you could pretty much do whatever you want." And he's like, "Well, I don't know. Is the normal thing for the players to come in first, and then I come in later?" And I said, "Coach, once again, you can do whatever you want. If you're the head coach, if you want to tell the players you're waiting on me, I'm going first, then that's what's going to take place." And, you know, here's the thing, though. You talk to the different head coaches. I've fortunately, with the job I have, I get a chance to talk to a lot of these guys. And those are the conversations I had. So whether I'm having it with Adam Gase, you know, he got the job in Miami because of his play calling, what he did as an offensive coordinator. So Now for him to go down there and not call the plays, it just seems like an odd thing to do. Vance Joseph, I said to him, I go, you know, you're a defensive play caller. That's why you got the job in Denver. And he said, well, I want to focus on being the head coach. I'm not going to call defense. I'm going to have somebody that I trust call the defense, and I'm going to manage the team and manage the coordinators and go that direction. So even the young coordinators have that hurdle that they have to cross. There's a reason why they've gotten those jobs and why they're in position to be head coaches. Some decide, hey, I want to continue doing what I'm doing, and others are deciding, you know, I want to, you know, I want to spread things out and let other people, you know, other people handle those things so I can handle, you know, being a head coach. And so everybody has their own plan. I know that that Andy enjoys it, as we just talked about. So I'm sure that was very tough for him to give that up, because he spends so much time breaking down films. I can't tell you the different players and coaches I've talked to, both on the Chiefs and on other teams that have been around Andy, and they just say how he loves watching film and coming up with new concepts and new ideas and how you can attack defenses and puts new wrinkles in continually. I remember before that Buffalo game, talking to Sean McDermott and talking to Leslie Frazier and guys that have been with Andy Reid, and they said, I said, how much of an advantage do you guys get against each other because you all know each other so well? And Sean was like, I can tell you one thing, Andy Reid is going to come up with all kinds of new stuff that we've never seen, and so I've got to come up with new stuff that he hasn't seen, and it's you know, it's one of those chess match kind of things. So I'm sure that was a very tough decision for Andy to give up the play calling.
All right, we're talking to Trent Green here. One more question before I give you the final four real quick, because I want to let you get back to everyone. I'm starting to hear – I heard this again about the Jets, and I heard it maybe early on in the season when the Chiefs were rolling offensively at 5-0. And it used to be thrown around with the great offenses that you quarterbacked here with the Chiefs, and that's scoring too fast. Do you want to slam your head into a wall like I do when people yes. criticize offenses for scoring touchdowns too fast?
You know, the whole purpose of offense is to score, whether that's in one play or a 20-play drive, right?
Right.
And time of possession, I understand where you hear, you know, I understand their concepts of saying you're scoring too fast because our guys haven't had time to make adjustments, our guys haven't had time to rest and those kinds of things. So my answer to that is, we'll get them off the field 3 and out then, and we'll
yes.
get the ball back quick.
Yes.
you don't have to worry about it. So I'm more in your train of thought. I'm as an offense, if you can score in one play or 20 plays, it's about scoring. It's about getting points. And, you know, I realize there's that point in time in a close game in the fourth quarter
right.
where you need to get first downs, use up the clock, force the other team to call the timeouts. I realize there's a time and place for that. But for the first three quarters, I'm going to try and score as many points as I can and make it difficult on you as a play caller on the other sideline.
All right, time for our final four.
That's just me.
No.
You know me. You know
yes.
me, Seren. I'm
yes.
aggressive. I want to put up the points. You know, that's just my background.
But it's absolutely true. It ends up being just like a cop-out excuse for your defense not being
right.
good enough. I mean, that's all that it comes down to. I'm with you. I do like the fact that you had it at late in games. When we get to a finite amount of time on
yes.
the possessions, it's time to really play complimentary
changes.
Football.
Right,
right. Exactly.
Yes.
We're talking to Trent Green here, time for our Kansas Lottery Final Four. I'll start you with this. Do you know who is second on the Indiana all-time passing yardage list?
Second on the Indiana all-time
one.
Passing yardage list. Is it Antoine Randall L?
No. No. Curtis?
It is Frankie Philchok.
Babe Loffenberg?
No.
What?
I think it's Philcock, isn't it?
It's Philchok, I think.
Oh, it is pronounced.
C-H-O-C.
It's spelled that way, but I think it's pronounced. Frankie Philcock? You ever heard of that guy?
You could have given me 10 guesses or more.
It's a little before your time.
I apologize, Frankie. I didn't know that one.
Yeah,
I don't think
yeah.
he's around anymore.
Yeah. Know your Hoosiers, right?
Right, right.
Never heard of that one. All right. Although there was, I thought, a Philcock that played. Anyway.
It was a Todd Philcox.
Yes, there was. Why did you choose not to go into coaching? Why did coaching not appeal to you?
For me, it was more about family. I wanted to spend as much time as I could with the kids. I'd been away as a professional athlete and wanted to set my schedules based off of that. And during my career, the conversations I had with my different coaches, that was the one thing they missed. They enjoyed the team building, they enjoyed it, the play concepts and everything about it. But I could go down, I could sit here and list 10 coaches that I've been with, and they said that, you know, the one main regret is they missed some of some of the family stuff that they wish they had been able to see because of the job. And obviously the job was, provides financially and
sure.
provides some pretty unique opportunities being a coach. But I didn't want to be selfish. I had played for 15 years and I could be a little picky. And I thought, that'd be more than I would be kicking myself if I missed the state championship game or missed, a big thing that I wanted
to be
a part of. So. And that's not a knock on anybody that chooses to do that. That's just my personal.
That's just for you.
That's my personal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
What's the Chiefs' final record?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say 9-7.
Okay.
I think they're going to win 3 of their last 4.
All right. And that'll probably get them the AFC West, so they'll be good there. All right, and finally and most importantly, who's more responsible for the 99-yard touchdown pass, you or Mark Boerichter?
Oh, let's see. Since he ran quite a way, he ran about half the distance. I guess I'll give it to him. Yeah, let's give it to him. You know who we should really give it to is Rodney Harrison. It was a 2-deep zone. We had Jason Dunn and Tony Gonzalez lined up in a tight wing formation to the right. I had them doing a double drag. Jason Dunn was going at about 7 yards. Tony Gonzalez was going at 22, or at least that's the depth he was supposed to be at. Boerichter was clearing out over the top. The safety saw, Rodney saw that both of them were dragging across, came off the play fake, looked at both tight ends. As soon as I saw Rodney vacate that half of the field, I said, well, nobody's over there. And I checked it out to Mark. So we'll say 1 and 1B. 1A and 1B. We'll say Mark and Rodney.
Okay, I like that.
I'll take a little credit because it was an accurate throw. So
yes,
I'll take a little
it was.
Bit.
Absolutely. It was great. Yeah. One of 13 combos to have the 99-yard touchdown. One of the few records in sports that cannot be broken. It's a great one. Hey,
yes.
Trent, have a lot of fun down there at Kansas City State Company, buddy. We appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Sounds good. Always great talking with you, Seren. Take care.
Right. You're the man. Trent Green, who I had playing throughout much of the second hour, Tim Grunhard, had him in the game. I was channeling. Alex Smith looked like Trent Green in that last game. That's the way it looked. That's why I was thinking that way. Mick Schaefer don't look like Trent Green. Not at all. Not in any way, shape, or form. Does he look like Trent Green? We'll talk to him next. The sports director for 41 Action News joins us. Also going to play some we're playing that now, here, and then chat, or chat and then play? I think we play and then chat because we tend to be late. So we're going to play a little feud coming up next with Mick Schaefer here in the program.